Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we're talking about relationships this month, and, you know, our tagline is hear it, believe it, live it. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to live it, it's going to be within relationships, isn't it? Among ourselves. Absolutely. So, you know, we love to hear the good news, and we love to say we believe the good news. It's this living part we're not so sure of.
Yeah.
How to let that become a practical outlet of our everyday lives, or actually transform and shape and be the center of our very lives that we live day to day with each other. And that's why Paul always, you know, starts every book that he writes with, you know, some real solid teaching and, you know, a challenge. Do you really believe this? Don't you know this to be true? And then he goes to the practical side. Now that you know who you are in Christ, now that you know that you've been forgiven, now that you know that you are loved by God, let's learn to live that out among yourselves. And in Ephesians chapter 5, he does that practical thing with husbands and wives and family members. That's where this gospel needs to be lived out first and foremost, mm-hmm. isn't it?
Yes.
And oftentimes that's where it's the hardest. That's where we struggle most in sharing the love of Christ with our family members, with our mates, with our children, with our parents, all of those sort of things. But Paul gives us some inside information. He starts with this whole section with being filled with the Spirit. In other words, we need to be controlled by the love of God. It's not controlled by the things that we want, the desires of our flesh, the things that seem right to us. We're to be controlled by the love of God. And when we're controlled by the love of God, then we can submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. There's a humility that comes about in your relationships one to another. And with those general precepts or principles in place, those general truths in place, he gets to some specifics.
Yes.
He starts with wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. And then he goes to husbands. And today we're going to talk to the husbands. I'm a husband, you're a husband, and so
wouldn't you like to be a husband too?
That's exactly right. So we're going to talk to husbands today, and here's what the Bible says to husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present to her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does for the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself. So he starts out this section, and he's very clear. I'm speaking to husbands. Mm-hmm. He's not speaking to men in general, is he?
Correct.
And he's not speaking to all husbands. He's talking to Christian husbands.
Yes.
Husbands who have come to know Christ Jesus, who have been added to the body of Christ because of his grace in their lives. He's talking to that group of husbands specifically.
Yes.
And he says to those husbands that you're to love your wife as Christ, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Now, many husbands translate that, the way that I love my wife as Christ loved the church is to teach her how to submit to me. And so they go right up to verse 22 and take it upon themselves as I'm going to teach my wife how to be submissive.
Yes.
Well, he wasn't talking to you up there. He was talking to wives,
yes,
specifically women who have come to Christ who are married.
Uh-huh.
So when it says wives, he's not talking to you, husbands. You got to wait. He talks to you in verse 25, yes. And he says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Now, what does this statement force us husbands to do? Well, it forces us to ask the question, how does Christ love the church? In essence, how does Christ love me? And that's exactly where Paul wants our minds to go. That's exactly where the Lord wants our focus to go, on the love of Christ for ourselves, on the love of Christ for the church, for the body. Now, one of the things that we see throughout the New Testament as far as Jesus doing for the body is giving the body assurance that it truly belongs to Christ. We see that time and time again. He's given us his Spirit, and by his Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father, and his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In the new covenant, God has written his laws in our hearts and in his minds, and he has said that we are his people and that he is our God. We have these statements of assurance throughout the Word of God. We need that kind of security. Otherwise, we'll walk around scared to death, wondering what God really thinks about us. So that's our number one need in our relationship with God. We need to know that we really belong, that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he is always going to be there for us. That's how Christ loves us. He gives us that sense of certainty, that sense of security, that unbelievable assurance, so that we are rock solid in this relationship. We don't have to wonder if he loves us or not. Well, that's exactly what our wives need. They need security in those relationships.
Yes.
And if we're going to love them as Christ loved the church, that's the first thing that we need to be aware of. She needs to feel secure, to be secure, to know that she is number one in this relationship. And when they get that sense of security met within that relationship, within that marriage relationship, they know that you're not going anywhere. They know that divorce is not an option. They know that you're with them through thick and thin. It just relaxes everything.
Yeah.
When, gosh, the marriage explodes, so to speak, and, you know, everything is awful. And, you know, wives have that tendency sometimes. You walk in and they hate the carpet. They hate the kitchen. They hate this. The car stinks. You know, all of these things. And we're wondering, well, what did I run into? It's like running into a buzzsaw. But you step back and you say, wait a minute. These are all expressions of I need to feel secure, and something is challenging that. And if you will have that in mind, you'll be able to talk, and all of a sudden everything's right with the world. That's just the way it is. So husbands, if you want to love your wife as Christ loved the church, let security be front and center in your mind. Make her feel secure in that relationship.
Absolutely.
And I guarantee you, you will reap the benefit of that type of love in a relationship.
Yes.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher, along with Richard Pfeiffer today. We welcome you to the program as well. 844-322-2742 is the number. 844-322-2742. You know, Richard, many people have all types of questions about relationships, how to have healthy relationships. And this month we have a wonderful resource called Inside Out Relationships, and we're concentrating on marriage in this particular CD series. And we want to put that in your hands. If you have questions about your marriage relationship, you want some biblical input on how to solve the mysteries of marriage, this is a great resource for you. And I guarantee you, if you listen, if you start to understand the love of God for you, you're going to see incredible differences in your marriage. Yes. So it's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. Just go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the donate link. Or right there on the front page, we have a wonderful image of the CD series. You can click that. And then as you make your contribution, request your copy. We'll get it to you as quickly as we can. It's Inside Out Relationships Marriage, a valuable resource we want to put in your hands. Again, the number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're going to go out to Fresno, California, and talk to Mitch. Hi, Mitch. You're on the air.
Hello, Bob, and it's been a long time since I called. I remember back in 2013, I used to listen to you all on the radio, but they sold the station and went to Spanish broadcasting. But I'm glad I still have your number to the live chat and everything.
Well, Mitch, we are too, and
yes.
You can certainly always find us online at basicgospel.net. You could download our app. We have a Basic Gospel app that's available in the iTunes store and the Android store. So with that, you can tune us in at your convenience. Anytime you want to tune us in, you can also submit questions to us through that app. But so hopefully those are ways that you can stay connected. But what's on your mind today, Mitch?
Well, I just wanted to ask, because I kind of like was dealing with it in my head not too long ago. There's a scripture that says, the just shall live by faith, not by sight. And I was wondering, what does all that mean?
Well, it's just an explanation describing this new life that we have in Christ. You know, when we were lost, it was the five senses really that controlled us. So
yes.
What we saw, what we heard, what we felt, what we tasted, what we smelled, all of those things kind of shaped our way of life. It informed our decisions and all of those sorts of things. But now that we've come to Jesus Christ, we live by faith because we certainly can't see Jesus. We can't see God. God is spirit, but we know he exists. And knowing that he exists is an element of this faith. So that's how we live. We live knowing that God exists, even though we can't see him. We live by faith, knowing that God loves us, even though we can't see that love, except as it was demonstrated in the cross of Christ. So we live by things that are beyond what we can pick up through our five senses.
Yes.
And that's why it takes faith. That's why faith is the way of life for every believer. It's called the newness of life.
Oh, I see. So it's not a matter of hearing a voice or seeing a sign or anything like that?
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Yeah, It's that attitude of dependence that we have upon Jesus to live his life in and through us. It's as simple as that, like the vine and the branch. You know, a branch can't produce fruit. It simply bears fruit. And the only way it can bear fruit is if it's attached to the vine. And that's what faith is. It's living in Christ and allowing Christ to live his life through us.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, thank you very much, and I'm back on supporting your ministry, and let's go forward, huh?
Hey, thank you, Mitch.
Yes. Thank you so much.
I appreciate that, and I say yes. Let's go forward.
Let's do that.
There's a lot of work to do in getting the word out, and that's what Basic Gospel is all about: getting the word of Jesus out through the airwaves and into the lives of people here in the United States, Canada, and really all around the world. This outreach reaches into, I think, the latest number, 119 countries, which is just mind-boggling to me that sitting here in Louisville, Texas, that our voices can be heard anywhere around the world virtually because of the internet, because of all of this modern technology. But there's so much confusion out there in the world. There's so many voices. You look up, you and I were talking about this today, Richard, if people want to know, if they have questions about God, about Jesus, oftentimes they'll go to the internet. They'll go to Google. They'll go to YouTube. And there's a lot of toxic information on those sites. And sometimes rather than getting answers, all of that corrosive stuff just merely fans the flames of doubt even more in their minds. And we're grateful for all the folks like Mitch who stand with us, who support this outreach so that truth can get into the hearts and souls of people. They need Jesus. They need the gospel. They need the good news. And let's go forward and get that good news out to as many people as we possibly can. And Mitch, thank you so much for being a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm just glad to do it. It's not much. I'm on kind of a limited income, but I'll do what I can, okay?
Well, we appreciate that, Mitch.
Yeah,
and
it's awesome.
Yeah, God will bless that and use that in the lives of others. So count on that, Mitch. Thank you, my friend.
Okay, I love you all, and you guys take care now. I'll call again, okay?
Okay, please do. Thank you. Love to hear from people like Mitch.
Yes, that's so much fun.
Yeah, and I know we had a call that came in last night. And we
from Justine. Justine sent this in, and let's listen to it.
Hello, hi. My name is Justine, and I'm calling in reference to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verse 43 to 47. It talks about, like, in verse 43, it says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame rather than having two hands to go to hell into the fire that shall never be quenched. As I read, I don't understand if you're talking about physically cutting off your hand, or is it talking about sin or lifestyle, or I just don't understand the scripture. If you can explain it to me a little better, okay? Thank you.
Well, Justine, we certainly appreciate your call and your question because it's a good one.
It is.
And we certainly don't see very many people taking this particular section of the Bible literally.
No.
I don't see people cutting off their hands or plucking out their eyes or doing the same with their feet. And even if we did, say your hand caused you to stumble, even if you cut it off, you would still sin. Why?
Yes.
Because the problem isn't with the hand. The problem is with the heart. It's always been with the heart. And so this is Mark's kind of version of the Sermon on the Mount.
Yes.
We read the entire text of that in Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5 through 7. And, you know, I was just looking at that the other day, and somebody asked C.S. Lewis once, do you care for the Sermon on the Mount? And he said, well, if you mean by caring that I like it, absolutely not. I mean, who could like something that just knocks you flat on your face? Mm-hmm. And that's what the Sermon on the Mount does. It really knocks us flat on our faces and shows us that we have a problem so deep that it's beyond our repair. There's nothing that we can do to fix the human heart. We can lop off our hand. We can pluck off our eyes. But none of that fixes the problem. The problem is deep within. It's called the human heart. And Jeremiah said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Well, that's true for us, but it's not true for God. God can cure our hearts. Our hearts aren't beyond His cure. And that's what the gospel does. The gospel cures our hearts. As a matter of fact, Ezekiel says that He sprinkles us with water, He gives us a new spirit, and gives us a new heart.
Yes.
So when we come to Christ, there's this circumcision of the heart. The evil is cut away. The things that, the powers that had gripped it, sin and death, have been cut away so that now we can turn to Christ. Now that we can trust Christ. And because something has happened on the inside, that work that God has done there and continues to do on the inside will start working its way to the outside. Yes. It's that inside-out reality. We want it to work the opposite way, from the outside in, but that's not how it works. God starts on the inside. He starts with the circumcision of the heart, putting his spirit inside of us, creating a union between his spirit and our spirit, placing us in Christ. So it's us in Christ, Christ in us. And in that union, we have the opportunity to trust the Lord on a day-to-day basis, and as we do, see the fruit of his life be expressed through us. So Mark here, as well as Matthew, is showing us what's really going on deep within. And as we read that, you say, well, who then can be saved?
I'm done.
Yeah, I'm done. And that's exactly where God wants to leave us, with that question, because he has the answer. Anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
Yeah.
We can't do it on our own. As a matter of fact, the next story is about the rich young ruler who asked the question of Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life?
Yeah.
And Jesus said, you know, you answer me. You know what the law is. And he said, well, I've kept the commandments. And he lists off just a few. He doesn't list off all of them. And then he says, well, you have one more thing to do, and that's go and sell all that you have and come and follow me. Well, his heart was attached to all that he had.
Yes.
That was the problem. And he couldn't let go of all that he had, so he remained dead in sins. But for those of us who are willing to let it go and say, hey, I want Jesus, your heart is going to get fixed. And out of that new heart is going to flow the very life of Christ. And you'll be able to express the love of God first to him and then to others.
Yeah. I want to make sure that our listeners are hearing this clearly, because I was raised with the Sermon on the Mount and these passages in Mark as this is the way you're supposed to live your life. And if you live your life this way, you will be blessed. That's what most of us heard. I think that's what most of our listeners have heard. But if you turn it around and say, Lord Jesus, there is no way I can do this. You've got to do it for me. He's going to say, thank you. That's what I've wanted to do all along. And he will change us from the inside out. It's completely opposite what we've been taught in many cases.
Yes, indeed. And this is important stuff when we get back to, you know, our talk about relationships.
Yes.
You know, this is key for all of that. If you're not a believer, you got a heart problem.
Yes.
And before you're going to see any real success within human relationships, you got to get that heart fixed.
Yes.
And there's only one way to get that heart fixed, and that's through faith in Jesus. He's the heart surgeon, the spiritual heart surgeon. Mm-hmm. And it's the most wonderful thing when that heart has been made new. And it's as simple as saying, Lord Jesus, I need you.
Yeah.
Thank you for taking away my sins through your death at the cross. Thank you for being raised from the dead so that I could have everlasting life. And now I receive you, and I ask you to come into my life and fix my heart and make me new so that I can love you and love others.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
That's what faith in Jesus is all about. That is the foundation for every other relationship.
Absolutely.
Well, this is Basic Gospel. Richard Pfeiffer, Bob Christopher here. Thank you for being with us today. I want to remind you of this wonderful resource that we have this month. It's called Inside Out Relationships Marriage. We want to put it in your hands. If you're struggling in your marriage, or even if your marriage is great and you would like a little refresher as far as what the Bible has to say, this is a wonderful, wonderful resource. To request your copy, go to basicgospel.net, click on the icon, donate, and follow all the instructions there. We'll get this resource into your hands as quickly as possible. But don't delay. Get it today. Make a contribution so that others can experience relationships God's way. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll be back for another live edition tomorrow. We'll look forward to seeing you then. Bye-bye.